chapter 12. I'd like to read verses 1 through 3, very familiar verses to most, verses that we've preached from many times. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. The book of Hebrews, from beginning to end, is basically an admonition for you and I to persevere in the Christian life. In the face of trials and difficulties that are on every hand, we are called upon to endure unto the end and to persevere, to go on following Christ no matter what. And throughout the book of Hebrews, the writer teaches that one of the great dangers that you and I face is the remaining stationary or going backwards and not advancing spiritually. We see this thought is brought out several ways. In Hebrews 3, verses 12 and 13, we read, "Take heed, brethren, lest," and that word occurs several times in the book of Hebrews, indicating a danger, "lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God," going backwards from God. We must beware of the slightest departure from God. Hebrews 4, verse 1, "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it." Hebrews 4, verse 11, "Let us therefore labor to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief." Must beware of coming short. We must beware of spiritual falls. In Hebrews 6, verse 1, "Let us go unto," speaking of progress, "let us go unto perfection." That is, we're to be moving forward spiritually. In Hebrews 10, verse 35, "Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward." Beware of what you cast away, what you throw aside. In Hebrews 10, verse 39, "But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe." Be careful what you draw back from. Be careful what you draw back into. So we see this theme going through the book of Hebrews, and it's one of advancing spiritually. Now our text in Hebrews 12 continues that theme, that we are to advance spiritually, that we are to be moving forward, that we are to continually be advancing spiritually. Now, our text goes back to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38, through Hebrews chapter 11, verse 40. And in those verses, we have record of men and women who attained spiritually, who endured in their obedience to God, and they did so in the face of difficulty. They did so in very life-threatening times. And the verses that we read for our text, Hebrews 12 verses 1 through 3, is basically the application of what has been said in Hebrews 10 verse 38 through Hebrews 11 verse 40. So we want to speak this morning on how to keep advancing spiritually. First of all, consider the life that we are called to live. The life that we are called to live here in our text is likened to a race. We see in verse 1 the race that is set before us. Now, the implications of a race are descriptive of the character and the manner of the life which you and I, the saved, are called to live. So think about a race. The very word race implies preparation. You don't just roll out of bed and run a race. You make preparation. There is a degree of dedication leading up to the race. So the implication of a race is dedication and preparation. And the life that we are called to live is a life that requires dedication. It is a life that requires preparation. A race also implies self-denial and discipline. And the life that we are called to live is not one of self-indulgence. It's not a life of recklessness. A race implies personal exertion. A race implies that which is strenuous. A race implies a determined effort. And again, the life that we are called to live is not a life of relaxation. It's not a life of indifference. A race implies progression. It implies advancement. It implies striving for a goal. It is a pursuit. And the life that we are called to live is a life of pursuit. Also, a race implies a specified course, a running in a certain direction. In a race, you don't get to choose what direction you want to run in. A race implies a specified direction, a specified course. And the life that we are called to live is not random. It's not random. You can't just walk any direction you please. You can't just run any direction you please. You can't just get on any course that you please. It's a race. A race implies rules. It implies rules. There are limitations. You can't just take a shortcut. That's breaking the rules. There's limitations. A limitation, of course, is the course. There are bounds, which again is the course that we run. So the life that we are called to live is not haphazard. It's a race. A race is particular. It's specific. And it's called the race. The race that is set before us. It's talking about a particular race. It is talking about a very specific race. A race implies concentration, concentration of purpose. A race implies a singleness of aim. A race implies perseverance, which again teaches us that the life that we are called to live is a very serious matter. It's a very serious matter. Notice here in Hebrews 12, verse 1, it is the race that is set before us. It is a race that is set before us. Therefore, it is not a race of our own choosing. It is not a race of our own making. It is a race that has been set before us. And no matter what our circumstances, no matter what our situation, no matter what our condition, no matter how we feel, the race is set before us. And we are to run that
race. Which race? The race that is set before us. That never changes. The race is set before us, and we are to run that race. Also, we see here that the life that we are called to live is a responsibility. It is a duty. Again, there is always the race, and it is set before us, and we are to run the race that is set before us. The race, those words are not limited to a select few, but for all of God's people. No one can run the race for us. Well, I'll run the race for you. It doesn't work that way. We have to run the race that is set before us. The words run the race that is set before us is not limited to a small time frame of our choosing. That is, between the ages of such and such, I will run the race. This race is set before us. And it's not of our choosing when we'll run the race. It is always before us, and we're to always run the race. The very words, the race that is set before us, it's not a race that is behind us. People want to talk about the race that they used to run. The race is set before you. It's not behind you. It's something that you must do now. It's not something that you have done. It's something you must do now. So again, it's not behind us. The race, run the race that it's set before us, we're to run. We're not to take the position of an observer. We're not to take the position of a spectator. We're not to take the position of a judge. We're to take the position of a participant in the race. Run the race that is set before us. It's not that we are to sit back and cheer others on. That's the problem with sporting events in the United States. You've got, take a football game, you've got 22 players on the field that are in incredible shape for the most part, and you've got 60,000 in the stands who are in great need of exercise, and there they sit and tell the others what they ought to do. And many in the Christian life are the same way. There will always be spectators. There will always be somebody. And they feel this is their position in life. God has called them to sit in the stands and tell you how to run. But it says, run the race that is set before us. We are the participants in the race. The life that we are called to live consists of some difficulties. We see that it says, run with patience the race that is set before us. The very word patience implies that the existence of something that tests us. It implies the existence of difficulties, perhaps some pains, perhaps some trials, maybe some obstacles, maybe some opposition, some adversity. But it is run with patience the race that is set before us. We notice also from verse 3 there are some dangers associated with the race. These dangers, again, are presented in verse 3 and are introduced by the word lest ye. And after the word lest ye, there are two specific dangers that exist for those that run the race. Do you realize that, again, take the illustration of a sporting event, those in the stands are in very little danger of getting hurt. Those in the field have more danger. Those who run the race have some dangers. And one of the dangers is weariness. Lest ye personally be wearied. Run the race with patience. But there are some dangers. There is a danger that we become exhausted. And some will say, well, I've got to quit running for a while because I'm getting exhausted. That's not the instruction here. You're to run the race set before us. There is a way not to get exhausted. There is a way not to get wearied. And we'll see that. But we see it's exhaustion. It is depletion. I'll quit running the race so I can fill my spiritual tank. How does that work? It doesn't work that way. There is a danger of depletion. There is a danger of being drained spiritually. So there is a danger that we become spiritually exhausted. There is a danger that we become spiritually depleted. There is a danger that we become spiritually drained. This speaks of a spiritual condition. We can get in this condition while we run the race. We see also a second danger, which is a result of the first, and faint in your minds. This is the result of weariness. Spiritual exhaustion, spiritual depletion leads to spiritual fainting. And to faint simply means to pass out, to lose consciousness. Many have fainted spiritually. They have lost their spiritual conscience. So faintness is the reverse of vigor. It is the reverse of cheerfulness. It is basically a losing of heart, a losing of will, a losing of desire to run the race. So we get some ideas by looking at a race of the manner of life, the character of life that we are to live. Then he gives us some instruction to live the life that we are called to live. Some instruction in running the race. And it is this instruction that keeps us from getting weary. It is the instruction that keeps us from fainting. This idea of man is, well, I just need to quit for a while so I can get revived. You don't find that anywhere in the Word of God. That is an invention of man, and it does not work. It does not work. These instructions is what keeps us from becoming weary. It's following the instruction that keeps us from fainting. First thing we are to do is we are to run encouraged. Notice in verse 1, wherefore, that is for this reason, seeing, or since, we also are compassed or surrounded about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Now these witnesses are not of us. They are witnesses to the power, the wisdom, the righteousness, and the blessings of faith. And it refers back to those who are mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. And those who are mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11 bore testimony and bear testimony of the power of faith to do whatever it is that God commands, however difficult, however impossible the situation may seem. The individuals mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, they obeyed God, they ran a good race, and they did so under very, very trying circumstances. They were men and they were women who endured difficulties, afflictions, trials, oppositions, obstacles, and they obtained what God had promised them. They are an encouragement to us. They ran the race. They run the race. They are proof positive of the enabling power of God to run the race. They are proof positive of the care of God, of the sustaining and the blessing of God. Run encouraged. Others have run the race, and they have done so successfully. Notice in Hebrews 11, verse 33 and 34. who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. This is an encouragement. These are men and women under trying circumstances who ran the race that was set before them. So we can run with encouragement. We can run with assurance. The race can be run. You can get your eyes on all of those who have fallen. You can get your eyes upon all of those who have gone off course. Or you can read Hebrews 11 and read of men and women who ran the race. Don't look on those who have failed. Look on those who are running the race. They are our encouragement. They are our encouragement. We can run with encouragement by the help of those who have run victoriously. They ran victoriously because they were enabled by God to do so. And we have the same God. And therefore, we too can run. Secondly, we are to run free of weights. Let us lay aside every weight. Again, this is how we prevent becoming weary. This is how we prevent fainting. You carry a weight long enough, you're going to become weary. And if you continue to carry that weight, you're going to faint. Let us lay aside every weight. Now, weight is an encumbrance. It's anything that would hinder. It is anything that would prevent us from running the race. Now, it's important that we realize that almost anything can become a weight. We can allow anything to get in the way. We can allow anything to hinder us from running the race. And the problem, one of our problems is that when we pick up a weight, we justify ourselves in doing so. The word weight is not limited to that which is sinful. In fact, in verse 1, it is distinguished from sin. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin. There's a difference. So the weight does not have to be that which is sinful. A weight can be something legitimate, something right, something lawful. It can be something that's even necessary that we allow to become a hindrance to our running. It is something necessary that we allow to keep us from running the race, to keep us from making progress in the race. You see, many of God's people are trying to run the race, and they have all these heavy weights. They have heavy weights around their necks. They have heavy weights around their ankles. They carry weights upon their backs. They basically have cement in their shoes. And along the way, they're picking up more weights. I don't know why I'm so tired. You wonder? I don't know why I don't have any spiritual energy. It's the weights. It's the weights. This world is filled with weights. And there will be plenty of people to encourage us to pick up as many weights as we can along the way and even present it as an admirable thing. But how can it be admirable if it hinders your progress in the race? We need to ask ourselves, is this going to hinder me spiritually? Is this going to be a competition with my spiritual life? If it is, it's a weight. And it's bad enough that perhaps a weight is put upon us and we don't cast it off. But when we willfully pick up weights, that's even worse. And we do that. People today try to fill every minute of their day with weights. And it gets harder and harder to find people who have time to serve the Lord. Well, I would, but you know I've got this, and they list 30 things. How sad. These weights will slow our progress, and you carry them around long enough, they will render you unable to run the race. Not able. Not capable. These weights will hold us back. They will greatly restrict us. It gets very frustrating to run all day long carrying weights, and you look back and you've gone about that far. Or you've gone backwards. It gets frustrating. These weights will even cripple us. You carry them around long enough and they'll cripple you. These weights will interfere with our running the race that is set before us. May I say, no matter how many weights you pick up, the race is still set before you, and you're to run the race. Whether you're able to run the race or not, the race is set before you, and you're to run the race. So we must be willing, if we're to lay aside the weights, seems to me we must be willing to take inventory of the weights that we carry. We've got to be willing to look at it. And then we've got to be willing to lay it aside. Again, anything can become a weight. People's children become weights. People's grandchildren become weights. People's jobs. Again, the list is endless. Church, if you don't have a right spirit, will become a weight. We see, thirdly, we're to run untangled. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, or surround us, besiege us, hem us in, fence us in, encircle us. It paints a picture of being entangled. Pretty hard to run a race if your hands are tied and your feet are tight. Pretty difficult. We read in Exodus 14 and verse 3 that when Pharaoh knew that the children of Israel were down by the Red Sea, that he would think they are entangled in the land. The wilderness has shut them in. Oh, how many are entangled in the land. The world has shut them in. Paul said in Galatians 5 and verse 1, be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And many are entangled in sin. Entangled by the land. Many are trying to run the race. Their hands are tied, their feet are tied, and they're blindfolded. They're entangled. We must run free of entanglements. So again, we must be willing to take inventory. What is it that entangles me? What is it that entangles me? We're to run with endurance. Again, run with patience. Run with patience, endurance, the ability to bear pains, the ability to bear trials, the ability to bear these things calmly, the ability to have forbearance under provocation or strain, to be steadfast in the face of opposition and difficulty and adversity. Run the race. Run with patience. The race, of course, is run in a world that is diametrically and actively opposed to God. Keep on running the race. The race is run in a world that has a powerful draining effect upon spirituality. Keep on running the race. The race is run in bodies that are filled with infirmities. But keep on running the race. As you run the race, there will be fierce winds. There will be rocky roads. But keep on running the race. Run with patience the race that is set before us. Along the way, there will be those who are running in the opposite direction. Along the way, there will be those who are always getting in the way. Along the way, there will be stumbling blocks. Along the way, there will be obstacles. What are we to do? Keep on running the race. Run the race that is set before us. Along the way, there will be those who have failed to run the race. They are failing to run the race, and they will do everything in their power to pull you down and to pull you off course. What are you to do? Run the race. Run the race. Keep running. Run with patience. Endurance. There will be times when you feel that you're running uphill all the way. There will be times when you feel like that you're running through a minefield. Keep on running the race. There will be times when you don't feel like running the race. There will be times when you don't feel like being spiritual. There will be times when you don't feel like doing it God's way. Run with patience. That is, keep on running. Keep on running. Where do we get this patience from? That leads us to the fifth instruction. We are to run focused. Run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. That's how we keep running the race. Looking unto Jesus. That is a very simple expression. There are no difficult words in that expression. Looking unto Jesus, there are no difficult words to understand. We're to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher. And notice he is not only the author, he is the finisher. And we are to look unto him. It's not a doctrine that we're to look to. It's not some abstract that we're to look to. It's not some theological dogma that we are to look to. But we are to look to a person. We are to look to a living person. And that person is Jesus, the Son of God. We do this by faith. We see him by faith. And we read in Hebrews chapter 11, this is how these individuals ran the race. It was by faith. Now you think about it. In salvation, we look to Christ alone. Somehow, people have bought into the idea that we look to Christ alone for salvation, but in living the Christian life, we need something else. No, we're to look to him. Looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. That means that we're going to have to look off or look away from some other things and look unto Jesus. We can't be simply an observer. We can't be looking at all the other runners. That'll discourage you. Look unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. This is where we find our strength. Look away from all the threats of the world. They will say, if you insist on running this race, you will lose your job. You'll get kicked out of school. Then fire me and kick me out of school. But that's because I'm running the race. There will be threats. So what do you have to do? You have to look away from the threats and look unto Jesus. And all these people that have bought into the idea, well, I didn't have a choice. Yes, you did. And you chose to look in the wrong thing. You chose to set your eyes upon the wrong thing. Look unto Jesus. That'll keep us in the race. It means we have to look beyond the difficulties and the oppositions. Have to look away from the past. You can get stuck in the past. And wherever you get stuck, you'll cease to run the race. The way to prevent this is looking unto Jesus. We must look to Him to see who He is. We must look to Him to hear His instruction. We must look to Him to follow where He leads. And notice this is not just some careless glance. It is looking. Looking steadfastly unto Jesus. It is a submissive looking. It is an affectionate looking. Looking unto Jesus. It is having our hearts occupied. It is having our hearts captivated and mesmerized with Jesus Christ. This is the way that you have patience, you have endurance. This is the way to overcome the weariness and the faintness. Looking unto Jesus. This is where we find comfort. This is where we find hope. This is where we find joy. This is where we find the desire. This is where we find the strength to continue on. This is how we overcome. Looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, we see Him as our example. We see Him as our encouragement. Looking unto Jesus, we are changed into His likeness. And as we look unto Jesus, you notice there are four things mentioned that we see. We see His motive, who for the joy that was set before Him. Who for the joy that was set before Him. God's glory and God's will was His joy. And if we're going to run the race, this needs to be our motivation. The motivation is not, well, what will people think? The motivation is God's will, God's glory. Run the race. It also mentions His steadfastness, who for the joy that was set before Him endured. He endured the cross. Nothing could move Him. Nothing could move Him from the Father's work. That is to be us. We see His thinking, despising the shame. That simply means He thought very lightly of the shame entailed in the cross. He saw the spitting. He saw the mocking. He saw the scourging, the false accusations, the agony of suffering. And He thought, that's nothing. That's nothing compared to the joy of doing the Father's will and glorifying His name. He thought little of the shame. And all it takes today is the world to make one threat. And God's people, for the most part, get off course. Oh, I didn't have a choice. Look unto Jesus. See His motive. See His steadfastness. And see that He thought lightly of the shame associated with the cross. And lastly, looking unto Jesus, we see His victory and is set down at the right hand of God. He ran a victorious race. Sixthly, run remembering. For consider Him. Consider Him. That means think about Him. Give careful attention to Jesus Christ. Take Jesus Christ into account as you run the race. Meditate upon Him. As you run the race, think upon Him. Weigh well who He is. Weigh well the place that He took. Consider His infinite perfection of His character and His deeds. In everything you do, in every place that you go, in everything that you experience, consider Him. Consider Him. In doing this, He again is our encouragement and our example. And consider Him that endured such contradiction, such opposition of sinners against Himself. He endured that which was bitter. He endured that which was severe. He endured the betrayal of His followers. He endured mockery. He endured slander. He endured it all. He never turned aside from the path of duty. Look unto Him. And as you look unto Him, think about Him. Consider Him. He did not abandon His mission. He never fainted. He remained steadfast. And He finished the work which had been given Him of God to do. Because He loved the Lord, and because He loved our soul, consider Him. Consider the price that He paid for your soul, and run the race. So yes, there is a race that is set before us. It's always there. Every morning when you get up, it's there. Every evening, it's there. No matter what transpires during the day, it's there. The race is set before us. We can choose not to see it. We can choose to ignore it. We can choose to excuse it. But no matter what you do with it, it's before you. The race that is set before us. Some so-called unfortunate event happens in your life. Well, you know, I would serve the Lord, but you know, these things have happened. The race is still set before you. It's still set before you. You and I may lose both our legs tomorrow, but you know what? The race is still set before us. We may lose our sight. We may lose our loved ones. But the race is still set before us. It's always there. It's always there. You say, well, I just need to get away from everything. Wherever you go, the race is set before you. It's always there. You can't get away from it. You ought not want to get away from it. It's set before us. And it is set before us to run. We're to run it. That is, we are to participate in this race. Oh, that God would help us not to be, to allow anything to distract us from the race that is set before us. Let nothing distract us from running the race. Run the race. The victory has already been won. Your guarantee. Victory. Run the race. Shouldn't be hard to run a race that you're guaranteed to win. Run the race. May each of us run the race that is set before us. You know, the course of this race can go in a lot of different places. But wherever it goes, we're never to leave the course. Never leave the course. It may go uphill, it may go downhill. It may go through, it may wind through the woods. Wherever it goes, stay the course. Stay on course. Run the race. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse 1.